Thank you very much. Open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. We have thoroughly enjoyed being here. Thank you for the great music today. It's a real blessing to our heart to hear that. I heard that a number of years ago with the old-fashioned Revival Hour Quartet. As a boy, I used to listen to them on the radio and Dr. Charles Fuller you don't hear that often anymore, but it's still a blessing and still warms your heart. So thank you, men, for that. And those good testimonies today, I appreciated those, all of you. Thank you so much for testimony. It shows you have a very tender heart. All right, you got your Bibles in Luke chapter 22. I want to begin reading in verse 31, and let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Luke 22, beginning in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now verse 54. Verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. After a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, some of the stories in the Bible are sad to read, but we're glad you put them there because they serve as a warning to us. And as we look at the life of Peter today, I pray that we'll learn some things about our own personal lives, and you'll teach us some things about standing for you, being unashamed of our Savior. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What would you do if your pastor cursed and swore in front of a teenage girl? Well, there'd probably be a business meeting, and word would spread about the preacher who cursed and swore in front of one of the girls at the church. Or the deacons might have a meeting. And the deacons would go home and tell the deacons' wives. By the way, you know what a secret is? It's something you tell one person at a time. So anyway, word would get out before long. And there would be murmuring in the church. And folks would say, I am through with that man. I'll never go to hear him preach again. But praise the Lord, God was not through with the Apostle Peter. God had some more things for him to do. And cowardly Simon Peter became courageous Simon Peter. So what I want us to do today is take this text in Luke 22. I want to give you 9 lessons. And I realize the time, so Brother Comfort just said, Preacher, you're done. So I appreciate somebody telling me that. I'm going to give you 9 lessons in groups of 3. 3 lessons about Satan, 3 lessons about the Savior, and 3 lessons about Simon Peter. So that'll be easy for you preacher boys to get down on an outline. All right, first of all, 3 lessons about Satan. The first one is in verse 31. Look in your Bible. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan. Now, one of the names of the devil is Satan. Do you know what Satan means? It means adversary. It means enemy. I remember one time being at a funeral, and a man had died, and somebody got up to say something about him, and they said, He never had an enemy in the world. Well, I got news for you. If you're a Christian, you've got an enemy. You may be a nice, sweet, kind person, but if you're a child of God, you have a very special enemy. And you have no idea how malicious and vile and wicked and sinister. You have no idea how much the devil hates you. And especially the fact that you are here at a Christian college training to serve God. I read one time this statement. I thought it was great. The man who understands Satan prays. Isn't that good? The man who understands Satan prays. Isn't that what the model prayer was? Jesus said, deliver us from evil. And you'll find out that's the evil one. The Lord delivers from the evil one. Now, the devil has a lot of names. He's called the devil. That means slanderer. You remember the story of Job? He slandered Job to God, and he slandered God to Job. He's a slanderer. He's the accuser of the brethren. He stands up there and says, look down there. Look at that guy. He says he's a Christian. He says he's going to start a church. Look at that girl. She says she's going to be a missionary. And he slanders the Christian before God. He's the deceiver. Boy, how effective is he today? He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. First time the devil crawls on the pages of Scripture, what's he doing? Lying. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He's a tempter. The devil is not an imaginary creature in a red suit. That is a stupid thing you could ever say. The devil is a personal, intelligent creature. And if anybody ever says, well, I don't believe in the devil, your answer is, well, Jesus did. And the Lord Jesus Christ was God. He knew the devil was a real, personal, supernatural being. And his cleverest trick is to make men think that he doesn't exist. So you learn from this something about Satan. You learn about his person. You also learn about his plan. You learn about his plan. That's also in verse 31. He says, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you. Now, please understand, the devil is not finished with you when you get saved. When you become a Christian, he doesn't cross you off his list. In fact, he becomes more of an enemy. If you're a Christian, he's more against you. Like the lady one time that told Billy Sunday, she said, well, I've never met the devil. Now, Billy Sunday was not known for his good manners sometimes. He said, well, ma'am, he said, it's hard to meet somebody when you're going in the same direction. And you know what the devil does? The devil dogs the footsteps of the believer. He is plotting your downfall, young man. He is plotting your downfall, young lady. The devil has as his plan to sift you as wheat. Now, in our day, sifting things is not real common. When I was growing up, my mom would always sift her flour. And she would get out the impurities. She would sift the flour. Now, nowadays, ladies don't make biscuits the way they used to. They have whopping biscuits. You know what whopping biscuits are? You whop the can against the side of the counter. And you get biscuits that way. But they used to sift the flour and put in the lard and put in all the other things and make the biscuits. Now, you sift something to get the impurities out. Well, the devil was looking for an impurity in the life of Peter. Peter's impurity was his pride. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But Peter's impurity was pride. By the way, you got an impurity too. Every single person here. Now, I may not know what it is and probably don't, but the devil does. And the devil knows your impurity, and the devil wants to find that weakness in your life. And if you know the devil and know he's after you, you better stay on your knees. His person, his plan, but then I love this, his power. His power is limited. The verse 32, very first thing Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee. I am so glad Jesus said that. He said, boy, Satan, if you knew what the devil wanted to do to you, but don't forget, I have been praying for you. Satan is not going to do what he wants to do because I am praying for you. You remember how Job came to God? Or the devil came to God about Job. And the devil wanted to do some things with Job, and God limited what he could do. He said, you can do this, but you cannot do this. And our Savior is praying for us. Satan is not going to do for you what he would like to. He's powerful, but he's not all powerful. Did you ever wonder, why doesn't God just kill the devil? Why doesn't he just get rid of it? I mean, that life would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it, if God would kill the devil? Why doesn't he kill the devil? Well, God uses the devil to grow his saints. God uses the devil to grow you. You don't sharpen an axe with butter. You sharpen an axe on a grindstone. And God permits our adversary so that we will come to God, fall on our knees, pray to God, ask for his help. God uses the devil to grow us. And if you're a Christian, Satan may desire you, but thank God he cannot destroy you. He may sift you, but he cannot sink you. He may tempt you, but he cannot take you. And there are some very important lessons here right at the very beginning as you look at this passage about the old devil. His person, his plan, and his power. Now let's go to the next lesson. I want to show you three lessons about the Savior, and this is very, very wonderful. In verse 34, Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now you know what God was doing? He was able to forecast Peter's sin. He said, I know what you're going to do, Peter. You're going to deny me. He knew that. Sometimes when we sin, it surprises us. Have you ever heard about somebody sinning and you say, boy, I would have never thought that of them. I would have never thought they would do that. Well, it didn't surprise God. It surprises us, and it may surprise you, because you expect more out of your flesh than God does. Simon Peter didn't expect to curse and swear. He said, Lord, I'll die for you. I'll go to prison with you. And he really meant that. But he did not know how weak and frail his flesh was. And young people, you don't realize how weak your flesh is. You don't know that. You don't know how frail you are. Jesus knew him better than he knew himself. And while Jesus knows us, he doesn't forsake us. And the Lord knew all about Simon Peter, but he didn't forsake him. He knows all about us, and he also keeps on loving us. I love this. You know, we think, boy, the Lord loves me because I'm such a good little guy. The Lord loves me because I'm such a sweet little girl. It's not why God loves you. You know why God loves you? Romans 5:8. While we were yet, what? Sinners. While we were yet sinners, God loved us. God doesn't love you because you're valuable. You're valuable because God loves you. And God looks down and God loves you. And knowing that Peter was going to deny him three times, knowing that Peter was going to stand by the fire and say, I never knew the guy, and then get so upset and so angry that he cursed and swore, Jesus still loved Peter. God knows some failures ahead for some of you. I hate to tell you that, but that's going to come. But it won't stop him from loving you. And so the Savior knew about Peter. He kept on loving Peter. Romans 8. Verse 35, who can separate us from the love of God? You may curse and slip, but God will still love you. And like any good father, you know what he'll do? He'll discipline you. He'll send things in your life to get you right. He'll allow things in your life so that you'll come back to him. He knows us. He loves us. And he keeps us. He knows us and he loves us. And he keeps us. Look in verse 32. He says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, somebody might look at this and say, well, Peter lost his salvation. Peter lost being saved. He cursed and swore. If you could qualify to lose your salvation, this would probably do it, wouldn't it? I mean, if you could. Now, I don't believe you can. I believe salvation is eternal. Somebody says you believe in eternal security. I believe in eternal salvation. I believe we're saved once and that's it. And Peter didn't lose his salvation. Praise God for his keeping power. I mean, if you could have lost it, I'd have lost it a long time ago. And most of you would too. Thy faith. Peter was already a child of God. He was already saved. Now, how does God keep us? He keeps us through His mighty power. And He keeps us through His prayers. Jesus said, Peter, I know what you're going to do. You're going to deny me three times. You're going to say you don't know me. And I was having a prayer meeting with my Heavenly Father. And I said, Father, I know what Peter's going to do, but Father, keep him. Father, keep him. Question, does Jesus get his prayers answered? Absolutely. Absolutely. Hebrews 7:25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 4:16, we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's His job right now. That's what my Father's doing up in heaven right now for Bob Taylor. And that's what He's doing for you. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to the foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will not forsake. Aren't you glad for that? Say amen. Now, you learn a lesson about Satan, about his person and his power and his plans. You learn a lesson about Simon, or about the Savior. Now I want to show you some things about Simon, because this is where we live. I want you to see that Simon Peter sinned. Simon Peter sinned. In verse number 33, he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Why did Peter sin? Pride. Peter sinned because of pride. The big I. In fact, you know what I did in my Bible in verse 33? I circled the word I. I. He starts out, I. The very area in which Peter thought he was so strong was the area in which he fell. Well, he was outspoken. Peter was a man, I mean, you knew right where you stood with old Peter, didn't you? I mean, he'd tell you exactly what he thought about anything, open mouth, insert foot. That was old Peter. But the very area, he thought, I am so strong, I would never deny the Lord. And the very area that he thought he was the strongest in, that's where he fell. By the way, where do you think you're strongest? You better look out. You better look out. The very area in which he thought he was strongest, he fell. And you say, well, boy, I'll never do that. You better look out. He fell because of pride. And pride, you know what that led to? It led to prayerlessness. Pride led to prayerlessness. Look in verse 45. I didn't read this, but notice Jesus was praying. He rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples. He found them praying in earnest. Now, it doesn't say that, does it? What were they doing? Sleeping. Sleeping. The disciples should have been praying and they were sleeping. The reason Satan will trip some of you up is prayerlessness. What is the Lord's prayer? Deliver us from evil. The evil one. God, I need your help. Lord, help me, please. God, give me strength. I want to resist this temptation. Lord, keep me from the wrong thing. Now, I heard this a few years ago. It made an enormous impression upon me. The worst thing about prayerlessness is what it says about us. Now think about that. The worst thing about prayerlessness is what it says about us. We think we can get along without it. You know why you left your room this morning and you didn't pray? Because you thought you could get along without it. You know why some of you guys get up to preach and you haven't prayed? Because you think you can do it without prayer. You know why some of you go soul winning and you don't stop and pray for God to help? Because you think you can do it in your own strength. And prayerlessness is such an abominable sin because it is a revelation of the pride of our heart. And Peter fell because of pride, and the manifestation of the pride was prayerlessness. But he also fell because of something else. And that's in verse 55. Look in your Bible. This is very important. Verse 55. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall. Now that's the group that had taken Jesus. And were set down together. Peter sat down among them. Now where should Peter have been? He should have been with the disciples. What's he doing with this crowd? He didn't have any business there. These are the people that want to kill Jesus. And here is Peter with a crowd that hates the Lord Jesus Christ. The young people, let me tell you something. I worked at a Christian college for 14 years. I preached in chapel almost every week at that chapel. I did counseling with the college students. One of the greatest dangers you will face is the crowd you run with. And at any college, there's a good crowd and a bad crowd. In any college, they're the ones that want to serve God and they're the gripers. Now, every college has got them. I'm sure this place has them too. And the crowd you run with will have an enormous effect upon you. Choose your crowd carefully. Don't get in the wrong crowd. It's no wonder Peter fell. Prayerlessness, pride, and people. And down he went. The mighty preacher of Pentecost later on, but he fell because of pride, which led to prayerlessness and wrong people. Simon Peter sinned. Oh, we should don't read that. It'd be great not to read that in the Bible, but it's there. And it's there for a purpose. And when he sinned, here's something else. Simon Peter suffered. Simon Peter sinned, but Simon Peter suffered. And that's in verse 62. And Peter went out, and what did he do? He wept bitterly. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, I don't think you can lose your salvation. I don't believe the Bible teaches that you can lose your salvation. You're saved forever. But I know something you can lose. You can lose joy. You can sure lose the joy of salvation. You can hear great singing like you heard today and it doesn't do anything to you. You say, oh, brother. You know what that is? That's a heart. The most miserable people I have ever met are not lost people. The most miserable people I have ever met are saved people out of fellowship with God. It's a church member who at one time was on fire for God and then gets out of fellowship with God and he gets crossways in the church and he is the most miserable person you've ever met. People get tormented by hidden, unconfessed sin. And Peter went out. And the Bible doesn't say he just wept. It says he wept bitterly. Can you see him there? This man that was with Jesus when he walked on water. This man who helped Jesus feed 5,000. This man who listened to the Beatitudes. This man who had spent 3.5 years as a disciple. And he's out sobbing his heart out. You know, I think he thought it was all over. I think Peter at that point just figured it's it. I'll never be used again. He sinned. He suffered. But thank God he served again. Oh, praise the Lord. Look in verse 32. Verse 32. Jesus said, I prayed for you, your faith fail not. And when thou art converted. Not if, but when. Now, it would have been better if Peter had never sinned. It would have been better if the portion in the Bible where Peter denied the Lord three times, cursed and swore, it'd be better if that's not in the Bible. But I'm so glad that God said, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Do you know something? By the grace of God, your failures can be stepping stones. And maybe there's some young person here and some things have happened in the past, maybe this past summer, maybe even this semester. And you're wondering, can God use me? Does God have a place for me? Well, God used this in Peter's life. Peter was used by God to strengthen other people. And the Lord used this in Peter's life and he began to strengthen other people. You know what God did? God took this portion of the Bible in my passage right here. God took that and God just wrote Romans 8:28 all over it. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. And this man who denied God became the mighty preacher at Pentecost. 5,000 people got saved. He was used by God to write the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I mean, it's amazing what God did with him. Did you ever really mess up? Well, probably most of you could shake your head yes. Really messed up. Maybe you denied your Lord. Maybe you sinned and you look back and that's kind of a black spot in your life. Now, Jesus knows all about it, but he loves you anyway. And he can take the ashes of your life and raise again a testimony for God. It's a wonderful thing. The thing the devil wants you to think, it's all over. The devil wants you to say, well, I messed up. God's through with me. God can't use me. But I am so glad we serve a God of the second chance. You know that? And I read over and over in the Bible, I read about Peter. God gave him a second chance. He stood up at Pentecost and he preached the gospel and thousands were saved. I think of David. God gave him another chance. He really messed up. Now, he never quite attained the height he'd been to before, but God used him again. I think of Jonah. He didn't want to serve God. I'm not going to serve God. I'm not going to go to Seattle, right? But God used him again. I think of Moses. He denied the Lord, tried to do it in his own strength, but God used him again. I think of Jacob. Almost every person in the Bible is an example of somebody who at one time got wrong, got turned sideways, and God used them again. I remember a young guy who came to college when I was there. His name was Art. And he really wanted to serve God. I think he had a real heart to serve the Lord. He graduated from college and he had trouble finding a place to serve God. He wanted to go to a church and nothing opened up. And so he had to provide for his family, got a job, started making some money and he had to work a lot of hours, a lot of long hours. And then he was too tired to go to church. He said, man, I just got to rest on Sunday. And so he used that as an excuse. But you know what happened? His heart got colder and colder to the things of God. And just like anybody, he got away from the Lord. And pretty soon he was doing some things that he shouldn't do. And there was a revival in his hometown, and one of his buddies from school was going to preach. He went to the revival meeting. God got a hold of his heart. God convicted him. And I remember him coming and saying, is there hope for me? Is there hope for me? Can God use me? I've gotten away from the Lord. I've gotten away from my calling. Can God use me again? I want to tell you, absolutely. Absolutely. God is the God of the second chance. And what a great story here of the Apostle Peter and how he fell, but how God picked him up and God used him once again. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are glad today that we serve such a wonderful God and a God who gives to all of us another chance. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here, a young lady, a young man, and in their own life, they've had some things in the past and they've been wondering, can God use me again? Does God have a place for me? Lord, I pray that they'll see that. Maybe there's some right here that are being tempted by the devil. He's deceiving them right now. And in the last few days, the last few weeks, some of these very things I've talked about have been going on. God, would you work in that heart? While our heads are bowed, no one's looking around for just a moment, let me ask you this question. You say, Pastor, God meant that for me. If nobody else needed that sermon, I needed that. And I've been getting a little cold, been with the wrong crowd. I've been doing some things I shouldn't do. God spoke to my heart, and I want to get some things right with the Lord. I want God to use me. I don't want to be cast away. I want to get back to the Lord and serve God and be used of God. Is that your heart desire? Would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, here's my hand. Pray for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are there others? I'll wait just a moment. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand together, shall we?